Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, in the ages of all ages, amen. With the beginning of Lent, thank you so much, we have a beginning of an amazing journey, a potential that is usually beyond what we expect. Like, what we had in mind at the beginning of Lent is usually not what we end up with at Easter. It's always something greater. There's always something more waiting for us. And the church is trying to encourage us today by the gospel that was read, by giving us these words that the Lord is trying to encourage us by, trying to make us realize that fasting is not a deprivation, or Lent is not meant to be deprivation. It's actually a feast. It's actually a period of feasting. And I want you to think of this with me today, that the concept of the feast of fasting. Usually we don't think of fasting and feasting as words that can be connected. But I'd like us, by the grace of God, to try to connect them together today. That we look at this coming 55 days that starts, God willing, tomorrow as a feast. So obviously the feast is not about the food and the water. It's a different type of feasting. And we want to look at that today. Now, the church, when giving us fasting, has never given fasting from the time of the apostles, when they dictated to us that we should fast Wednesday and Friday all year, except for Christmas and Epiphany, if they fall on a Wednesday or Friday, except for the 50 days after Easter. The fasting has never been an optional thing in the faith, in the church. The apostles actually gave it to us as an opportunity for growth, for understanding, for depth in Christ. So even you look at the words of the Lord, He says, when you fast. He doesn't say if you fast. So it's like an understanding that fasting is a given. The Christian will fast. And it's not, again, deprivation, but it's potential. Great, great potential. Great, great potential. The Lord Jesus says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. The Lord had made sure to combine the two. That fasting alone is not going to work. And that's why many people complain and say, how come I fast? I don't feel any difference. I don't feel any better. I feel worse, or I feel unwell, or things are going badly. Fasting is a part of a prescription. It's like a list of things. It comes with a package. So the church doesn't say only fast. That's why the Lord says prayer and fast. The church, then the gospel that the Lord gave us today from His words, had a combination of things that make fasting valuable or make it bring its full potential. And many people look at it, again, when we just focus and zero in on we're not going to get to eat the food we want to eat for the next few weeks, then we limit ourselves, we narrow our own potential for growth. We sabotage it ourselves by that kind of thinking. St. John of Kronstadt once said, whosoever rejects the fasts, plural, notice the word fast is in plural, because the church has fasts throughout the year on purpose for great growth. Whoever does reject them deprives himself and others. So it's actually harming the church. It's like we're on one body. That's why we say when the church fasts, we fast. When the church feasts, we feast. Deprives himself and others of weapons against his own much suffering flesh and against the devil. We have power over us, especially as the result of our intemperance or lack of self-control. The control we lose, or the potential we lose, affects all of us. We're all connected. It's like one team working together. So the combination of things makes it fruitful and bear an amazing fruit. St. John Chrysostom says, do you fast? Then feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, visit the sick, do not forget the imprisoned, have pity on the tortured, comfort those who grieve and who weep, be merciful, humble, kind, calm, patient, sympathetic, forgiving, reverent, truthful, and pious. Notice how the list of virtues that were just listed have nothing to do with if I'm going to have a vegan meal or I'm going to have this food or not this food. Food is very, very low on the spectrum of importance when it comes to this. It's just level one to build on, as we've always said. So that God might accept your fasting. and might plentifully grant you the fruits of repentance. See, there's a feast called fruits there. Fruits of repentance. St. John Chrysostom also says, it is necessary most of all for one who is fasting to curb anger. So focus on, if anger is an issue for you, let that be your Lenten challenge. Focus on that maybe. If you want to attain humility, focus on humility. You want to attain inner purity, inner stillness, peace. You want to deepen your love and knowledge and growth and the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Focus on that. Let this be your Lenten focus, for example. He says, to accustom himself to meekness and condescension, to have a contrite heart, to repulse impure thoughts and desires, to examine his conscience, to put his mind to the test and to verify what good has been done by us in this or any other week. So 1 week at a time. And which deficiency we have corrected in ourselves in the present week. This is true fasting. He says, if you really want to be fasting, then you're going to evaluate yourself week 1, week 2, week 3, and so on. And the fathers teach us to evaluate yourself every day. At the end of the day, how did I do today? What did I do today? Where are the victories? Where are the defeats? And how can I turn the defeats to victories by the grace of God tomorrow? He says, fasting of the body is food for the soul. There's that feast of fasting. The fasting of the body is actually food for the soul. As bodily food fattens the body, so fasting strengthens the soul, imparting it an easy flight. It makes it able to ascend on high, to contemplate lofty things, and to put the heavenly higher than the pleasant and pleasurable things of life. It basically leads us to another level. He also says, fasting is wonderful because it tramples our sins like a dirty weed, while it cultivates and raises truth like a flower. It does wonders in our lives. St. Theophan, the correct Lucas, says, fasting appears gloomy until one steps into its arena. At first people are like, oh my goodness, 55 days? But he says, if you decide to step into its arena, things will change. But begin and you will see what light it brings after darkness, what freedom from bonds, what release after a burdensome life. It has to be done though with a concept of love. I want to do this so I can love Jesus more. I want to do this so I can know Him better. If you're going to focus, okay, we're going to remove these foods from the pantry and replace them with these foods, and okay, what are we going to cook for the next 7 weeks? It becomes burdensome. And religious uselessness. Trust me. St. Macarius once said, the soul that really loves God and Christ, this is in his 10th homily, though it may do 10,000 righteousnesses, esteems itself as having wrought nothing by reason of its insatiable aspiration after God. Though it should exhaust the body with fastings, with watchings, its attitude towards the virtues is as if it had not yet even begun to labor for them. Why? Because out of love. All this has been done out of love. But when it's done out of religious duty only, and beyond the spirit, where the letter kills, but the spirit gives life, then I feel burdened, and I don't enjoy it. And when is this going to end? And so on and so on. That's not what was intended here. The Lord Jesus Himself fasted. Says we say during Lent, He fasted for us 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted for who? For Himself? He fasted for who? To go on a keto diet? He fasted for what? To lose some pounds by Easter? No, He fasted for us. See how, if we can think of Lent for others, I'm going to be fasting, thinking of the rest of my body in Christ that is suffering right now. People that are suffering in issues at home, people suffering issues of health, people suffering issues of so on, people that are suffering the rest of the planet. Fasted for others. He fasted for us 40 days and 40 nights. Has nothing to do with food. It has all to do with love. Totally different concept. St. Basil the Great tells us something amazing. It is necessary to praise the Lord on the harp, that is, to render harmoniously the actions of the body. Since indeed we sinned in the body, when we yielded our members as slaves of sin to lawlessness, he's quoting St. Paul. He says, let us give praise with our body, using the same instrument for the destruction of sin. So then he goes on, what is it? About the fasting. You see, again, he's not going to talk about food. He says, have you reviled? Have you insulted someone? Bless. Have you defrauded? Make restitution. Have you been intoxicated? Fast. Have you made false pretensions? Be humble. Have you been envious? Console. Have you murdered? Bear witness or afflict your body with the equivalent of martyrdom through confession. That's why the mystery of repentance and confession is a gift, a tool in the church to kill the sin that I committed. And then after confession, you are worthy to play for God on the 10-string psaltery. For it is necessary first to correct the actions of our body so that we perform them harmoniously with the divine word and thus mount up to the contemplation of things intellectual. One, therefore, who observes all the precepts and makes, as it were, harmony and symphony from them, this one, I say, plays for God on a 10-string psaltery. So it ends up being you're basically offering praise to God through your fasting. Again, food was not in the equation. He didn't mention anything about food here except that part about if you have been intoxicated, fast. Again, because as the Spirit of the Fathers tells us, there is a growth, a lightening from the flesh when the Spirit is on track. When the Spirit is the one that's in charge. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Not the other way around. Or not the ones who are led by other types of spirits. The spirit of gluttony, the spirit of selfishness, the spirit of lack of forgiveness, the spirit of hard-heartedness. None of these things have to do with Lent. And that's why when these things are combined with a vegan diet, they are useless to you. You will bear zero fruit by Easter. Zero. And yet if it's a change of pace, a change of mind, saying, Lord, I want to transcend this. I want to get to something different. Then you'll hear the words of the Lord telling you, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You're the one who's going to be feasting during Lent. If you take it with this kind of approach, with this mindset, you're going to be sad that Lent is finishing. You're going to say, oh my goodness, it's already another week gone. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it's already Palm Sunday. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it's Holy Week already. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it's finishing so quick. How come it's already May 5th? This will be your reaction. And then you're going to be storing throughout those 55 days spiritual stock reserve to enable you to keep the good fight going throughout the rest of the year when you're not always fasting from food and drink. But if you choose, if you want, you could be feasting spiritually all year round. You could be really enjoying it all year round. St. Beeman says, do not give your heart to that which does not satisfy your heart. Food's not going to satisfy your heart. It's not going to do it for you. That's why in the prophet Joel, he says the words of the Lord, consecrate a fast. Consecrate it. Make it something set apart. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants. Gather everyone, the whole body of Christ, into the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Pray from the heart. Make it something powerful and precious. And this is not difficult to do if we put our mind to it together, all of us. In Isaiah 58, it says, is this not the fast which I choose to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Then he says, I will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. The Lord will answer your prayer in a marvelous way by thinking of others. Now, this is the conclusion of that passage in Isaiah 58. If you draw out thy soul to the hungry. So if you think of those who hunger. Now, remember, the Lord says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So there's feeding the poor and the needy, food, physically, absolutely. That's all year round. That's always. But there's also feeding the hungry soul who is aching for your forgiveness, aching for your attention, aching for your affection, aching for your approval, aching for a moment of your time. This is feeding the hungry. Someone that's in need of some form of boost to boost their morale that it's been in the gutter for the past how long, no one knows except them and the Lord. This is feeding the hungry as well, by the way. Satisfy the afflicted soul. Some people tell, there are people who have told people, I hate you to their face, or I will never forgive you. You don't know the impact such words have on the person. You and them, the recipient and the one who's saying it. The one who's saying it, you're just basically eating away at your own soul like a cancer. And the one who received it, you just added a burden on them that they cannot bear, they cannot carry. They just have to keep trying to lug it one day at a time for the rest of their lives. Imagine if you decide to say, I will satisfy the afflicted soul. Say, I forgive you. What have you just done? Think about that. Then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. The Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. Your bones are going to get fat, strong, healthy. How? I haven't eaten meat or protein for I don't know how long. Because that's not what's going to fatten your bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. That's exactly what the Lord said to the Samaritan woman. He who drinks of this water, it will flow out of him as fountains of living water, leading up to everlasting life. It's a choice. It's a consecration, like Joel said. Continues and finishes in Isaiah 58. If, because of the Sabbath or the day of the Lord, like today, you turn away your foot from doing your pleasure on my holy day. So for example, you lost an hour of sleep, but you still forced yourself to get up and come to church. This is part of you keeping the day holy. And the Lord will reward you for that. And call the Sabbath a delight. Turn Sunday into a delight, not a burden. Oh, I wish I could sleep in today. Turn it into a delight. And shall honor him. Not doing your own ways, nor fighting your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. Feed you a feast. The feast of fasting. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. He ends the chapter with that. He ends this section in Isaiah with that. I have spoken. Have you listened? He's telling me. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do the things I say? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, they're right there in front of us on the screen, amongst others. But do them out of love. Because if you just do them out of duty, it's unprofitable to you and to the Lord. He doesn't need duty. He needs love. Because he's love. It's different. If you notice also, in today's gospel, the Lord said, when you fast, again, not if you fast, when you fast, because he's expecting us to, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. What is this open reward? Think of the open reward that is awaiting you here. What does he mean when he says, anoint your head and wash your face? This is sanctify your senses. You wash your hands to wash your face, right? You take the soap and you scrub and then you wash. So you're washing your hands clean. So this is your sense of touch. You're careful with what you touch. You wash your face, you anoint your head, you focus your mind on the things of the Spirit, your eyes, everything, all your senses get washed. It's not just, oh, I don't want to tell people I'm fasting, so I'll put a lot of cologne. It's not that. Everything you read has a spiritual premise behind it. Anoint your head and wash your face. So do this and this together, and you will be rewarded openly. What will be the open reward? Because he says, you're doing it in the secret. What was the open reward? He doesn't want you to appear to others fasting or praying. He says, go pray in your closet. So what is this open reward? The open reward is that you will be able to face the demons with the sign of the cross, not even looking at them, ignoring their existence, walking on and passing them by because of the grace of God that is with you and upon you and within you. This is the open reward. That's why the Lord says to Abraham, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. You have no idea what kind of reward I'm keeping for you. You have zero idea how much I love you and the kind of reward I have in store for you. This is the open reward. This is the anointing of the head, the face, the hands, the senses. St. John also tells us, are you fasting? Show me your fast with your works. He doesn't say, show it to me with what kind of food you have in your fridge, with what kind of diet you'll be pursuing. Which works? If you see someone who is poor, show him mercy. If you see an enemy, reconcile with him. If you see a friend who is becoming successful, do not be jealous of him. Love your neighbor. I find it so insulting to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us on Good Friday, and people spend Good Friday planning what falafel place they're going to go to after the Good Friday prayers. This is ridiculous. It has nothing to do with falafel. This is the point, the Lord says. If you can reconcile with someone on Good Friday, or if you can walk up to someone today that you have insulted to their face or told them something wrong or sent them a hateful word or message and tell them, I'm sorry, forgive me, that the Lord may forgive me, that we may forgive one another, that we may be reconciled in front of Christ, this is way greater than any other vegan food that you may choose to eat tomorrow or for the next days. Think of that. Think of the spiritual element hiding within these words. Please, I beg you. I beg you. The obsession of, oh, we have to go to Adonis today before they close because we have to pack up on the vegan stuff. This is an obsession that has nothing to do with your salvation. Nothing. Zero. Zero. Focus on the Spirit. Think of the person sitting in front of you, behind you, next to you, at home right now, driving in. Pray for their salvation. Pray for their saved arrival. Pray for all this and think, what can I do today to offer a feast to the Lord? Whether it's forgiveness or reconciliation or love or patience or mercy or empathy or care or prayer. That's the feast of fasting. He goes on to tell us, let the mouth also fast. So then he, from disgraceful speeches and railings, for what does it profit if we abstain from fish and fowl and yet bite and devour our brothers and sisters? The evil speaker eats the flesh of his brother and bites the body of his neighbor. When I talk about someone or backbite, you've heard this so many times and you'll probably hear it again in the future to remind us, you gossip and slander, you're eating your brother's flesh. You are a cannibal. Forget being a Christian. You're not a Christian. You're actually a cannibal. This is what he's saying. I'm not coming up with these words. They're right there. This is cannibalism. So we're fasting. We're doing great on the vegan side of things. But as far as our cannibalist diet, that's also flourishing. It's something to pray about and consider. These are the challenges and the feasts of fasting. Saint Athanasius says that devils take great delight in fullness and drunkenness and bodily comfort. Fasting possesses great power and it works glorious things. To fast is to banquet with angels. There's a feast right there for you. Imagine, would you rather just be eating at McDonald's a Big Mac or sitting with Archangel Michael and talking about the greatness of God? Pick. Tell me. If you choose the Big Mac, your loss. Maybe some people choose the Big Mac. But I encourage you, I recommend, try sitting down with Archangel Michael for a minute. Pope Shenouda tells us once, a good man does not remember the good deeds he has done because he's still busy with the good deeds he's still doing. Again, that's another part of the list of things to be done during fasting. If I'm not doing good with my time, if all I'm focused, okay, I have to stop fasting at noon, okay, at 1 or at 2 or at 3, that's all I'm wasting my time on, or sleeping off the hunger, then I've done nothing. Again, there has to be a proactive approach, a struggle, so that you forget about the good you're doing because you're constantly doing good and more of it to the glory of God, as in patient continuance leading you to eternal life. Not so that, that's why he says, beware. The Lord says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds to be seen by men. Because if you do, you have zero reward from heaven. Nothing. Nothing will come to you from heaven. You already got your reward on earth. That's why there are saints who do it on purpose to act like they're crazy, to act like they're fools, to avoid any credit or praise from anyone around them, just so they can get the full reward in heaven. That's not for everyone, but it's just, there's. Imagine there are some who have done so. Saint Dorothea says, not only should we observe moderation with food, so fasting, but we must also abstain from every other sin, so that just as we fast with our stomach, we should fast with our tongue. Likewise, we should fast with our eyes. Not look at agitating things, not allow your eyes freedom to roam, nor to look shamelessly and without fear. This is the feast of fasting. The fathers say many have been very stern with their bodies, but have gained nothing by it, because they did it without discretion or discernment. Even if our mouths stink from fasting, and we have learned all the scriptures, and memorized the whole Psalter, we may still lack what God wants, which is humility and love. This is fasting. If I don't have humility and love, and I hate someone, and every time I think of them, I hate them and despise them, what have I gained from eating falafel? Again, I want to emphasize this point incredibly. That's why the Lord says in today's gospel, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It says, it's a condition. There's way much more forgiven on from his part to ours than from mine to the person in front of me. So he's saying, look how much I'm willing to give you if you just give me this much. Look at the return on your investment. This which makes, again, fasting fruitful. You forgive others because God has forgiven you, plain and simple. So I want to leave you with this image. What do you see here? You see a chain, and this chain be gradually breaking off into flight. You notice? Going from a chain to birds taking off in flight. This is fasting. I want this image to be printed, please, in your mind, right now as you look at it, in your heart. Bring it from your mind to your heart and pray about this scene with me during liturgy today. And pray that this Lent, we are basically breaking shackles away 1 week at a time. One other shackle broken off. If we can break 7 of them this Lent, that would be fantastic. And we can find ourselves going from one level to the next. That's why St. Paul says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. If you're focused on clothing and material and food and drink, you're depriving yourself and the rest of the body. That's why St. Paul says, when one member suffers, we all suffer. When one member rejoices, we all rejoice. We work together. We work together. This is the goal. Let this be your goal, that you take off in flight this Lent, that you feast on the glory of God. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.